Beyond Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Welcome, everybody. And I dream of the day that every day starts off with a round of applause, really, because
that's really your favorite thing.
It is. Yeah, I don't get a lot of it but with the kids at home. It's just, by the way, this is always how I'm like. Like, I'm in show mode 24-7. It is exhausting to be near me.
He's forever thanking sponsors at breakfast.
Yeah, so, and
if he doesn't get applause when he comes home, he's like, did you not hear the joke that I just said?
And then he says it again. We're at dinner. I'm like, this lasagna is brought to you by Emma. And the kids are like, that's not funny anymore. And I don't know if it was funny at the start. So it's...
But he keeps saying it till
they
applaud.
It's tough being me. So let's explain a few things. And if you're listening right now, we are coming to you...
Live,
but now recorded when you're listening to the recording from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, somebody, when we did this last time a few years ago here in this exact room, we were introduced as Scott and Allison from Toronto, Canada. Now, you might not find that funny for a second because you didn't laugh, but that's like saying we're coming to you live from Nashville, USA. Okay. Just because we're a foreign country does not mean we don't have some way to say it. We're from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Canada.
Like, this is Nashville, Texas, USA. Is that right?
You nailed
it's
that.
It's funny.
Good
but
job.
You can't see it right now, listeners, but yep. They're all staring at me in a way saying, say that again, and I'll cut you. It's funny once. That's it. That's all good. So that's how that works. So yeah, well, where was I going with the original thing with it?
I never know.
I never, there's no...
Like, I'm not going to lie to you.
By the way, this is the show right now. Like, this is how it goes. This is as smooth as this show gets. When we started the show, 250 almost episodes ago, I took a course, a great course called Podcasting A to Z or A to Z from where we're from by Cliff Ravenscraft. Great course, great way to learn everything about podcasting, everything about the technical about it, how to structure a show and everything else. Highly recommend it. And then I ignored everything I learned.
Like every single thing.
You said you have to have a fixed time length of a show. We don't.
Only have one host.
We don't.
Have guests.
We don't. And that's our show.
And then all the technical stuff that he learned about, microphones and all that stuff, we immediately outsource to people who actually know how to do it rather than play at learning while we're trying to put out this content. So really, we learned what we didn't want to do and then just ignored the rest of the advice, which is basically us in a nutshell, I think.
It's like learning surface level knowledge of accounting, right? And then hiring an accountant. So you know enough that you know you're not getting obviously ripped off about something, but you need a professional. That's what this show is, where I'm the a nice way to put it, I'm idea guy. So I come up with the idea and then I don't implement anything, right? I love the idea of something, but the work I don't do.
Sometimes.
At all. That's the whole
the
sentence,
the
by
sentence.
The way. I don't like work.
We were at a conference and Scott was speaking with John Morgan, who's not here tonight, but a Nashville guy. And someone was asking about the process of writing books and stuff. And Scott was, as he always is, super gracious and was like, well, I speak and Allison writes. And she's like, there are apps that will do that for you. So you have to understand how angry I get being compared to an app.
Yeah.
It was just like the most ridiculous idea, like that you could just put that sort of this technology piece, right, in place. And
right.
Then all of a sudden, all the words that he says will become a book. It's not
magically,
really how it works.
Yeah.
So like we were talking about a story about it where he came running downstairs in our house. So we were writing, I think, the Book of Business Awesome. Or maybe
it was unselling. Yeah.
So we're writing Unselling. And so Scott travels a lot, but when he's home, which is fantastic. And he just came running downstairs in the house, like full bore, runs up to me in the kitchen and looks at me and goes like this, funnel vision. And then he left.
That was my idea for the chapter.
I turned it into an entire chapter
that was my only contribution to the chapter.
Yeah. It was like, but in the way he did it, like he was sending me the information.
Yeah.
through my head. It was fantastic. Yeah,
it was so, like, yeah. I was, the idea in my head was, we get a lot of funnel vision sometimes, that we only look at the funnel in marketing. Like, everything has to do with the, no matter what. Nothing to do with brand and sentiment and everything else. It was always just funnel. And so I'm just like, oh no, we get funnel vision. I run a teller, and then I give no other information that's in my head, by the way. And then I go back upstairs and I play Xbox.
And I wrote a chapter from that.
And yada, yada, yada. 60,000 words.
But I think that we all have those experiences, right? In business, where you're the bottleneck for whatever you are. Like, I wouldn't have come up with funnel vision. I'm perfectly comfortable not being the person who runs up to Scott and says, you know, something. And then he turns it into something else. But that bottleneck, and that's what we found with the podcast, was that the bottleneck was going to be everything other than doing this, somebody else does. Because we probably maybe would have put out one episode by now.
Not even
like
one.
4 years later.
No, so we literally hire out every part of this show except the show. Does that make sense? So we record the show, and we record it once a month, 4 or 5 episodes in one shot. We don't want to do it when I'm on the road. I'm on the road probably 140, 150 days a year. We don't want to do it over Skype, because one of the biggest, obviously, the cleanness of the audio is almost everything. It's almost like the content's almost second. If you can't hear it well, then you're not going to listen to it, no matter what is being said. You can't. So content, one of the problems with content, actually, it's one of the biggest problems with video we have found for brands doing video and individuals doing and entrepreneurs and putting video out, is the sound isn't great. Sound is almost more important to video than the actual video, because sound is very distracting. And this is an insult to our wonderful sound man, Wayne, but sound should not be noticed. Does that make sense? Sound should not be noticed. It should sound the way it should be, which is clear and the way I can hear it. I don't have to think about sound. It's like light. Great lighting is when you can't see it. Not you can't see, but you can't see the lighting. That's the point of it. And you found with podcasting, and for all of you that create content for yourselves or clients or brands, this is a big part of that. We offer everything. We're going to make content. We'll make all the content. No, you want to make the content that you can make well. And if it's not in your wheelhouse, then you need to find somebody to do it internally or externally, or don't do it at all. Because we're in this world now, and this is what really gets me going. I am so happy I no longer do consulting or client work or make content for brands other than this. What's up, Emma? How you doing? But we don't make it, because I found now, and correct me if I'm wrong, people in this room who are in charge of content, that now, like back in the day, 8 years ago, right? In the old days, when you made, like, remember, you wrote a blog post, let's say, and you wrote it and you proofed it and you put it up and you put a picture in there and you put it up and you put your newsletter out, sent through Emma, and you put it out there and it goes and people see it and then they spread it and it goes and it's got weeks and weeks and weeks and it grows and grows and grows. Then it plateaus a bit maybe, but it can stay evergreen. You ever see content, what's happening right now? Right? There's an insatiable appetite for content with a very fixed time length of how long it lasts, right? You have a world that relies on 24-hour content, not 24-hour meaning I want it 24 hours, 24-hour meaning it lasts 24 hours. And if it's an Instagram story, it's gone in 24 hours. It's a Snapchat story, Snapchat, I don't know, the kids use it, where it's gone in 24 hours, right? And Facebook, it may as well be gone in 24 hours, yes? Right, with the edge rank algorithm, one of the things, one of the biggest indicators of that is time decay and how old the post is. It dies so quickly on that vine, rest in peace, Vine, where that it goes, it'll go, and then it may as well be gone. How often have you gone back to a brand page, even may I say your own, and looked at content older than 2 weeks? How often do you do that?
It's almost creepy.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's gone, and then poof, it's gone. Like you bust your backside doing this. It's a great piece of content, and you take time and you do it, and then you're just like, what's next? You're like, you got to do something new. I'm like, I finished it 4 hours ago. You're like, well, it's coming up. You got 20 hours left. That's exhausting. And creativity and compelling content, because compelling content is the only way you get shelf life with content. Is it makes it resonates with people and it's relevant. And relevancy and recency are two things that don't go hand in hand very well, which is why Facebook dictates your timeline based and supposed to be on relevancy. And we all complain and say, I don't want that news feed like that. Instagram switched theirs over to relevancy. And we're all like, let's go protest. Like, that's the thing worth protesting today, is Instagram changing my feed and the way the algorithm goes. But we're like, no, you know what? Humans do want things delivered in relevancy, right? We do want, now don't, maybe if you mess with somebody's inbox and Gmail started resorting things by what they thought is most, that might be different. But in social especially, we thrive on, they have the data that if I don't, most recent isn't the most important. Relevant content is most important, with recency is one of the things involved in it. The problem is we push so much focus on recency and not enough on relevancy, is no wonder our content dies. No wonder our Facebook page doesn't have any reach at this point. Mind you, now it's gotten ridiculous. Where now it literally, and then Facebook came out and said for brands, it is pay to play pretty much. And then even that will die very quickly. But relevancy is that forgotten art form of content where we don't realize that what we're saying is, do they want to see it? Not we need to put a piece of content out. It even goes back to newsletters. Roping this into the email side of things, because that's what we do, is you don't put out, people ask frequency wise. How often, what's the best day of the week, Scott and Allison, to put out a newsletter? You know, we've said since the dawn of email, when you have something relevant to say to your subscribers, that's the best time. That's the best day. And they're like, oh, cool. So like Tuesdays. You mean Tuesdays is the best day? No, nobody has ever looked at a newsletter from Nashville Chiropractic and said, you know what? This is lame. This is not even, you know, but it is Tuesday. And I'm really up for newsletters on Tuesday. So, like, day of the week and time of day are important. But they're ranked 9th and 10th on the importance. And if you don't get the first 8 correct, that's not going to matter at that point. And the only analytics I think that matter to you for your newsletters is your own data. Split test your stuff. Put it out there. Do a split test. We do this when we send it out with them. It's like, here's subject line 1. Here's subject line 2. You're looking, are they recognizing it, who it's from? Do they recognize that name? The number of brands, the number of individuals, especially entrepreneurs or consultants who put out the newsletter under some...
June newsletter?
Yeah. Other name, or the subject line is June newsletter. Well, yippity frickin' do. Let me open that. Who wants to open that? Nobody. If you don't have a compelling subject line, I don't recognize the from line.
And it goes the last 10 ones we open were terrible.
Right. So it doesn't matter if it's Wednesday or Friday if I never get to the point of opening it, that I don't recognize it and there's no relevancy. So we're sometimes prioritizing the wrong thing. And why is that? Because then we don't have to blame ourselves if it's not working.
I think it's overly frequent too. I think when you focus on frequency as the key, you bombard people with information unnecessarily and you lose them so quickly because there's so much competition.
Right. And what's the average open rate of a newsletter? What is it at? 25? 20%?
Remember when getting email was exciting?
Remember when open
I miss those days.
You remember when open rate didn't exist? You sent an email and people opened it. Like, that's how it worked back in the old days.
Remember? But part of it is because you get one chance, right? Really. Yeah. I mean, I said 10, but you really get one. If someone opens it once and it's not either, sometimes it's not what they signed up for. So you're taking advantage of that sign up and just sending them something else or something like that. They'll never come back. There's too many options. All the June newsletters out there. There's too many options.
And that's the issue of looking at every part of a newsletter. Where you're looking at a part where it says, well, what can I do better? And that's, again, where we have to look in the mirror as marketers sometimes too, and as business people, is like, what did I do on this one? Because if I just blame, well, it was a Wednesday and it should have been a Thursday, then that's not because of my content. But we look at it and say, okay, what was compelling? What wasn't? What have I sent them in the past? Have I told them it's coming out every week? Why am I sending it out weekly in the first place? Do I have anything to say? Sometimes the best newsletter of all is the one you don't send that week. Like, you don't sign, I'm not going to name any companies, but FTD, when I bought flowers from them, and I mean, I'm not disparaging any brands. I mean, flower companies. But FTD is great. Great company. You order flowers, you can take it anywhere in the world, just deliver them. And I'd send flowers to my mom, right? It's her birthday today. Oh, crap. I got to send her flowers.
You already sent
her. I sent her flowers. So I would send flowers, and then it would get over. So Canada, we have the Canned Spam Act, right? It's one of the most stringent spam protections by law in most countries, actually. It rivals some of the European ones. And since I'm a customer now, they get around that thing, right? Customers don't have to say they play the same rules with confirmed opt-ins and everything else because you're on it as a customer list. I would get 5 emails a week. I'm like, how many moms do you think I have that get flowers? Like, honestly, how many funerals and birthdays? And if I have 5 a week, I got to reevaluate my circle of friends and family at this point. That's a lot of birthdays and deaths and marriages and bar mitzvah. Do you send flowers at bar mitzvah? I don't think we do we?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, sorry. We're a mixed family. We're Jewish and Christmas. So it's, it was a pause, then a laugh. So it was weird for you. I get it. I get it. So I know what I was going to say, by the way, 16 minutes ago when I lost my train of thought. It came back, pulled back into the station. I want to explain the shirts we're wearing. And obviously our listeners right now won't know what I'm saying. Thank you for that.
I'm sorry.
This is what it's like living with me. Our listeners, our 7 listeners won't know what I'm saying right now because they can't see it. But Emma wonderfully made these new shirts for us, which Emma is one of the 7.
So every time we do podcasts, I don't know if you can tell, but sometimes Scott gets triggered into like a tangent.
It's rant triggers, yeah.
Yeah, his rant triggers. So like,
there's one up here right now.
Yeah, and there's a couple. Like, there's certain topics that are pretty much guaranteed to trigger. And sometimes, so he'll say something, and then it would be like, do we have to worry about censorship? Or we have to worry that we're going to lose our sponsor? And it was a joke. He never actually says anything that bad on camera. And then he would like... it's good, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so he would say, well, I said that, oh no, Nick, now we're down to 6 listeners. So that was the joke, was that we had 7 listeners. And every time he would say something, which he has often, Wayne has all the outtakes for me for if I ever need to make a little extra cash. And then he would say, like, we're going to lose one of our 7. So it just became like the loyal listeners of the podcast became the 7. And people would say they were one of the 7.
And now almost every talk I give, there'll be a listener there from the show, and they'll come up and say, I'm one of the 7.
So it's like, kind of cool.
That's their line. And we had one event in Dallas, and right, you said that today too. She came up and said, I'm one of the 7. Like, that's how our listeners self-identify.
And which is sort of funny because it's not the greatest podcast listener.
Right. Like, it's not the greatest. Like, Emma doesn't want to hear they sponsor the show and we have 7 listeners.
We don't really have 7.
We're just kidding. We have 8. Right. Yeah. But they're really high net worth people. So the difference is, so in Dallas, we did an event in the summer, and somebody came up to us and said, I'm one of the 7. And I'm like, you know what? We really need to get shirts made of that. And he said, I did. He said, wait here. And then it was like 10% creepy.
So we called an Uber.
Yeah. So he went to his room, came back down, and had shirts made on podcast, one of the 7,
cool.
And made for us too. So, but this is a lesson for something to hear too. It's not just boasting about the show and how brilliant we are coming up with that line, partially. It's about community. And when you make people feel that they're part of a community, it's amazing. They feel ownership of it. They feel that they're part of it. That's why, you know, radio shows would name thing. That's why, you know, Lady Gaga calls them little monsters. It's where you feel like you're part of a tribe, a community. And that's what our listeners are to us. Like, that we have we do books and they do talks and you do a lot of it in the blog and Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram followers and Twitter followers. And there's no more passionate group of people that we've got than our show listeners. Like, if we mess something up or we miss an episode, we know because they tell us. We still hear about an episode we missed to do 2 years ago. Like, remember that week you didn't put out an episode? I'm like, what's wrong with you? How do you even, like, you can ask for your money back. See, the joke there is it doesn't cut. Forget it. I'm not going to. If I have to explain the joke, we have to end the show. That's where it gets to. But it's something that was just kind of off the cuff. We found really people can identify themselves with something. So if you in this room that have brands and identify brands that we all have different fans. And I know consumer products are a different kind of fan level than it is kind of a B2B product. But even B2B products have giant fans with stuff. And that when you allow them to identify with something too, run with it. Run with it. So getting shirts made, we got unpodcast mugs made. And I made the mistake of at the end of one of the episodes, because, you know, who listens to the very, very end of a podcast? I don't know. When we're wrapping it up, you're like, all right, on to the next one. Right. And so I said, if you're still hanging on by this point, which I know you're not, it's like the end of Ferris Bueller, and he comes back out. He's like, would you go home? So I said, if you're listening right now and you want an unpodcast mug, let us know. We'll send you one. Oh, mama.
So many boxes.
We became a mug distribution company.
It's a good thing we have kids, because they were handy.
Yeah.
They were
do you handy. Know how much it costs to send a mug to Austria?
Because we do.
Yeah. $48.
Yeah.
And that's for regular shipping. Ground, by the way, which makes no sense, because it has to go over oceans. Plural. To get there. So it's finding that community. Right, finding that community, and there's a responsibility comes with a community in a way, but there is an ownership there, and that builds loyalty to it. And a podcast is what you need, that type of stuff for that type of content. We see a lot of brands putting out podcasts with no real goal other than to keep their name in front of people, and that doesn't build a following. It doesn't build a loyal tribe of people. That's just another way of advertising something, and then your listeners will show it. It's a lot of effort for, not a lot of stickiness for the brand either.
Well, it's the why too. Like, why do you want to have a podcast? Because tons of people ask us all the time about, starting their own podcast and what they need. And a lot of people haven't gotten to the point of asking themselves, like, why do they need a podcast? Or any, and it accounts for any new technology or tool is the why, right? So is your customer base using it? Like, are you really finding that everyone's listening to podcasts and you want to be one of the podcasts they listen to? Like, what's the reason? Is it to get to know your brand better? Is it because you have people who have that particular skill or those particular gifts? Because a lot of the time it's just like, well, a podcast is what everyone's doing now, so I guess we need a podcast. Yeah. And that's, like, we were really late to starting the podcast. Like, we'd already published, I think, three books.
Yeah.
And most of the peers, I guess Scott's peers, like, they already had podcasts. So it was kind of like we were very late, and we didn't do it until we really wanted to do it. And we still, it's still one of our favorite things that we do, probably our favorite thing that we do as part of the business. But there was a big why there, and answering a question for people who are asking for one, like, why don't you guys have a podcast? Like, yeah, maybe that's a good reason.
And it's it's been 5 years of doing the show. And at the end of the day, we do it because we love doing it. That's it. Like, our business is, I do keynotes, we have books, but you make 8 cents a copy on that in the traditional publishing sense. And we love doing it. It keeps us out there, it keeps us in front of people, and it gives us a chance to do this. But this is how Alice and I are, right? Like, really, it's just putting two microphones in front of us. When we decided to do the show, we were at Starbucks or something, and we were going off on some kind of topic. We're like, we should just record this. And this is what it's turned into.
And for content creation, it's been really great from my point of view, because I have, before, when we were writing books before, we would have conversations like these. So Scott would have a news article or something, and then we would have conversations in real life about them. And I would use those conversations to create, blog posts or eventually books or whatever. And so now what happened is, once we started recording the podcast, now I have this like crazy amount of content that I actually can remember and go back and source. And we have someone who does all the show notes and puts in all the links.
Who's actually in Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. And so it's just the best resource. And you can take a lot of that content and repurpose it in different ways. Like, we're very hands-on with it. We're not just like, pushing it out in a bunch of different directions. But for us, it's a great way to then go back later and research, like, the content side for books. I love it. It makes it much easier.
And content, though, too, is one of the issues with content is, should you be doing it? People are like, well, we need to do a podcast. And I'm like, do you have the skill set to do it? Do you, I should be speaking at events. Should you? Right? The world doesn't need another bad speaker or a bad PowerPoint or a bad ebook or white paper or blog post or tweet. What are you good at? What is in your wheelhouse, your abilities, and you can improve on things. I want to do this so I can get better. but your business shouldn't be a practice run, right? Your brand shouldn't be a practice run where it's something that, what are you best at? Because people say, well, you should do, you should speak on camera. You know how hard it is to speak on camera? You've done it? Have you? It is very hard. I think 80% of the world is, 80% of humans are unfilmable. Unfilmable people. Not because of how you look. You're beautiful humans in this room right now. And listeners, all seven of you are, well, one of you, you know which one you are. But like you're gorgeous people, but cameras can freeze people. Cameras are hard, like it's hard to speak in front of people, but looking at a camera thinking, well, how many people are going to watch this? Or looking at it, people look a lot of times awkward. Now you can work on that, you can improve on it. If something you want to do, great.
You know what makes that way easier? Take away editing and be on camera live.
Yeah, which is, there's your next step. It's like, we should do a Facebook Live.
And everyone's doing it.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Have you seen yourself on a recorded edited video? That's a train wreck. Now, like you said, take away editing and take away any sort of script and allow random strangers to be commenting live and put the word penis somewhere and some weird emoticons.
Can I say
penis? Is that okay?
It's too late.
She's got three left.
And six.
Shane's debating this right now if that's a word under the censor list. But the point is like that's what you open the world up to. So how do you make somebody more nervous than talking on camera? Put it on camera and allow the world to give their thoughts in real time on it, right?
Or nobody shows up, and so you're just talking into the open, vast universe of Facebook.
It's a Facebook Live, and the person's looking over at the counter.
It's so terrible.
And it's live, by the way, right now. I don't think there's anybody in here. Should I wait? I'll wait. And then it becomes, when it's done, it goes on the page. And like for the one we did for Emma last time, right, half of the consumption of it was after it was recorded. So everybody's like, well, what is this that Emma's putting out? And it's you just...
Is someone going to ask me a question? Yeah. No?
And you're sitting there and you're like, I'm doing a recording! Yeah! No pickle, though! Okay. I think the dog wants... Oh, there's two people. Who's here? It's down to one. Did I mess it up? Hello? Is it... I don't know if it's working, and you get your phone out to see if it's streaming, and then you get this weird echo going back and forth from your phone, and you're like, I think this is, why aren't anybody asking questions? Click, and a thumb goes across the screen. You're like, is my bandwidth down? And this is like, and
he's been triggered, in case you were wondering.
That's called rant triggering right there.
But I always think about, remember, okay, this is going to sound stupid, so I'm not like super techie, so forgive me, but do you remember, I think it was like was it a Google service where we could type in real time to each other?
Yeah.
What was it? What was that called?
It wasn't GChat or something like
there
that,
There was some
right?
service where you could chat.
GChat,
like,
right? Yeah, okay.
And you didn't have to send it. Like, it just, they saw you typing, which to me is a nightmare. Like, that as an author is just my worst nightmare is that you open that book and you see my just, like, trail of thoughts as I was working through.
Unedited.
I don't think it's the right way to go.
Yeah, the technology is not, just because... Yeah. Just because we can doesn't mean we should.
But like if you're really good at it and you're comfortable going with the flow and you have something prepared for your first 2 or 3 minutes where you know no one's going to be there or 5 minutes or however long it's going to be, then it can be really great. And it can be a great way to connect with the people that you have there. And then it gets saved so people can watch it later. But it's sometimes about the managing the expectations, right? Like when we started this podcast, Scott like has a large like following on social media. Although, side note, we were in the car with two 12-year-olds, and our daughter said, oh, Scott has, like, a lot of followers on Instagram, which is, like, the coolest thing to a 12-year-old. So she's like, how many? And Scott said...
6,845.
And she said, why?
And then I crawled back under the seat.
So, side note to that 12-year-old, but...
why?
It was so great. So great.
Not even malicious. It was literally... Why would anybody follow you? She was genuinely curious.
It was great.
And she was still curious when she ended up walking back to our house because we left her on the road.
So anyway, we started Scott tells me he wants to do a podcast. He wants to have these conversations. So I'm like, why? Like, at the time I was running my own business. I didn't have this social media thing. And he's like, he just didn't want to talk to himself. He thought it was the conversations, right?
I still do, but yeah.
And immediately, it's going to be like, like a million people are going to listen to this podcast. I've never been so stressed out in my entire life. I thought I was going to die. I remember the first day sitting there. It still irks me. If you guys, some of you are new like to us, so you don't know about the End podcast, please don't go back to episode one.
Yeah.
Please, for me.
Video of it on YouTube.
So bad. So yeah, it's the stress of trying to be something that you don't know how to do. It took me a long time to learn how to, you know, do this. And we've been having conversations and pretty much nonstop since we met. So this is very natural and I feel comfortable up here doing this. If he left, which he's not going to do because he loves me, it would be very different, right? Like, so part of the live video or being in front of people is knowing what makes you comfortable. How are you able to do it as well as possible? And for me, that's this conversation. And you need to figure out what it is for you. And it might be notes. It might be cue cards. It might be taping something in the wall behind you. It might be practicing a bunch of times with editing before you do live. Or you might be like really killer at just going with the flow and answering questions. But I think you have to practice and figure out what your strengths are.
But there's got to be a trust there, right? There's got to be a trust that we don't throw each other under the bus, that Allison's really good, especially Allison to me, not as much me to her, but she's really good at knowing when I'm coming down off of a rant or a subject and she can jump in. We don't interrupt each other. I interrupt you much more. You rarely ever interrupt me. And it's the joke is you jump in right now. And But there's a flow to it. And that's sometimes what people enjoy. They said it's like feeling like I'm hanging out with you and doing it. And that's important for co-hosts where you have a natural rhythm.
Or co-workers it's a big part of working together.
You can see that in content. Then it comes out because then people feel comfortable and they're okay to listen to it. And podcasting especially is a very intimate medium. Like for those of you that listen to either this show or others, you know, where are you listening to them? A lot of times it's somebody going for a run, walking the dog, on your commute, or in your office. But a lot of the times it's in your ears, right? You're wearing your earbuds, wearing earphones, and it's just us and you. That is a very kind of intimate connection with listeners. It's not the same as reading something. It's not the same as, because it feels like live. We're talking to you at the time, even though it's recorded. It's even more intimate than doing a talk in front of people. And you have to remember that. And you can't violate that by just blasting ads at them the whole time.
You know who would never violate your ears by blasting ads at them?
Emma.
Sorry, we practiced that.
Did they know what we just did there?
Well, it's recorded. You know, people are going to be listening.
That's a live read. We call that in the business.
That's how we do ads.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll. So it's something that when you're looking at creating content, it's not about doing it differently or doing the new thing or having to go just in these new channels. It's about your core content. It always starts with us is your core content. So is that going to be your blog post where blogs are kind of going to the wayside, not writing, but the blog itself? The only difference to me between a blog and an article on your website is like the ability to comment. That's almost the only difference I see in a blog post versus an article. I don't know if there's anything different, but an article is like, well, that's an article. It can stay forever. And a blog post is like, well, it's old. It's content. And we only blog once every 2 years on marketing. But if you go right now, you'll think it's a new article because we took the date off every one of them. Fun fact, very smart move. Take the date off it and it becomes evergreen content. But it's an interesting thing, and we found this kind of shift in content side of things for blogging, is that one of the reasons why people have turned commenting off, and a lot of the big sites have done that as well, is outside of spam, which is ridiculous. Even if you have AskCommit and Discuss and all these things plugged in, they still get through. There's ways to work around it. It's that the conversation of the piece is not happening as much on the blog anymore. It's happening on Jeff's Facebook post where he shared the blog post, and then the comments, because it's Jeff's circle, comment with each other. So there's like 16 comment pages about the one blog post and less coming there. And it's an interesting thing for us. And it was the first time in this past month that I thought of just removing comments from the blog post, because 99 out of 100 of them are spam. And that's the ones that don't get caught in the filter to that point. So it's an interesting shift we're having now of where the the conversation resides in the community. And should you even be posting it anymore? And our answer is always yes. That you shouldn't put all of your content on other people's property.
That I miss those conversations in the comments.
I do, because they stay with it.
Yeah, and they used to make it better. If it was a really good blog post and you got a good run of comments going, you ended up having a better conversation at the end. And I don't love the disjointed comments on people's pages because it's a different conversation.
I agree,
and especially if it's a brand writing content, then the brand can't always be involved in those conversations or even hear them. And part of it, I think, for a brand is hearing your customers. It's so important. And so when the comments are happening on people's Facebook pages and you're not seeing them, I think that you miss out on those comments. I mean, I know there's nothing you can do about it, but that's something I miss about the comments, you know? And
that's
I know
I
there was
blogging.
A lot of crap.
Yeah. Sometimes
also,
the comments were better than the blog posts.
Yeah.
Like they really were. They were different viewpoints and they were written thoughtfully and they were written with care and they were...
Our kids would be calling us old right now for this conversation.
They would.
And we
back
should talk
in my,
about
back
something
in my
out.
Day, we commented on blogs. On what? Did you mean vlogs? No.
And never say that again.
Millennials. I tell you what.
Uh-oh. It's a trigger.
Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. I love millennials.
Do you want to talk about any of the stories that we brought?
No.
All right. Well, this has been a weird episode of the Unpodcast because we didn't do any stories.
Do you understand that that was just an episode? Like the episode just happened? Like we are actually longer on that episode than most of them.
Usually we have like news sources and then we like talk about them.
Yeah, you know what? We'll give them a sample. Let's give them a taste.
You want to pretend? Okay. Yeah. Set up. Wait.
This is how it works. All right. So how we work, and you're all listening right now at home or at work or doing something weird. You are, we collect articles, you know, between the month of the shows and we have a list and we print it out and we figure out which ones we want to talk about. Every week we get sent a ton of stories from the Seven. And they
they're really active online. It's weird.
When something hits the fan, the first thing
emails.
They think, they're like, Scott and Allison need to see this, right? And you never want your brand to come after the phrase in the email, did you see this one?
No.
And then insert brand name here because that's where it's coming to us. And then I print out the articles usually the night before or the morning of, and I hand a stack of 40 of them to Allison, and she just goes, that goes with that, that goes with that, that goes with that, 4 or 5 episodes, and then we just riff on them. So we take 2 or 3 articles each, one of us reads it, and then we both react to it. That's really the show. We don't usually have the pleasure
there
of an audience.
There was a really awkward phase. It lasted about 5 minutes where Scott tried to tell
me. At the beginning, yeah.
He said, I like your natural reaction to things. I'm like, that's a good compliment. So from now on, I'm not going to show you the articles before we're on the show. So we're just going to be recording.
I'm now, just going to read them and go like this.
Wait, like, so this was back in the day too, where he's like a million people and I have no idea what I've never sat in front of a microphone before. So this is going to go well. And he's like, and so I'm going to show you these articles and I want your natural reaction. So I'm picturing Scott picking like triggering articles, right? Because he thinks I'm funny when I'm like.
Women not good at things.
And then he's going to be like, watch me.
What do you think?
And so he's like, so what we need to do is you're not allowed to go on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like,
stop reading. These stories are going viral. They're right here. And I need your natural
reaction.
And
I'm like, have we met? Like, I don't have more chargers in my bag than I have like any kind of makeup, like a lip balm and 10 chargers are what's in my bag right now. So yeah, that didn't work very well. So now I get to read them before.
So we changed things. So here's an example of what we would do on the show. And for you listening, thank you for putting up with our in-person difference.
They love
today.
Us.
This is from Engadget. This is LinkedIn adds the voice messaging feature you weren't missing. Today, LinkedIn announced that it is adding voice messaging into its social network, considering the constant email requests that LinkedIn is famous for and the fact that most people hate voicemail. We can categorize this under features absolutely no one asked for. But LinkedIn does have its own reasons for adding voice messaging. First, it's easier to send a voice message while you're away from the computer than it is to type it out. Second, your recipient can wait until they are free to listen to it rather than quickly scanning an email and forgetting about it. Of course, this means that the bulk of voice messages will likely never be listened to because truly, who needs another voicemail inbox? And finally, quote, speaking in your own voice allows you to build a more personal connection and effectively communicate, LinkedIn said in a blog post. The article then says, okay then. however, if you're super into this idea, the feature is in the process of rolling out on iOS and Android. It'll be available around the world, which is it's available now. Messages can be up to 1 minute long. And our usual reaction is, I can't see this going wrong at all with anything. Have anybody, okay, first of all, anybody ever gotten a LinkedIn voice message?
No
one. And by the way, for the listeners at home, zero.
That was one? Zero.
Zero? Zero? Okay.
Big fat zero.
Anybody ever sent one? And if you did, don't put up your hand. The point is, it hasn't been rolled out really fully, I think, to everybody. But the point is, that's a hard pass for me.
Yeah.
On the LinkedIn voice.
I can barely stand the text and the typed messages.
I can guess, and I'm going to go, and I don't know the Vegas odds on this one here, but I'm guessing 68 to 89% of this room do not listen to their voicemails currently. Right? On your phone. I'm in the office, and you have to, like obligation, my contract, you got to listen to them. But
yeah, some people have jobs and stuff, and they have to listen.
If you wake up in the morning, or you're in the meeting, and you know, and Shane's there, and he's going to, you know, you don't want to have your phone ringing, right? So, and if you, but it's your personal cell phone, and you look at a voicemail notification on your phone, do you listen to it? All of you? Well, some of you do. Yeah, yeah, I get it. And if we have kids, like, with legal obligation, we got to see they're okay.
I just call them back, though.
Right, I call them back. So if for me, like, the only reason I listen to my voicemails is to get rid of the voicemail notification number on my phone that says I have a voicemail. And then if you did leave me a voicemail and you were a friend, you then were a friend at that point, and we were no longer friends.
I feel like LinkedIn could have done some other things first.
But it's like video email or voicemail on LinkedIn, where
video
it's
video email.
Yeah, video.
It's a link.
I'm gonna get triggered again on a rant. Video.
So yeah, that's pretty much how the show works.
When you send me on LinkedIn a spam request to connect because you have this new technology you're pimping out, called video email, where you email and it's a video, what you've invented is you sent me a link to a video in an email. You invented a link. And then it's you with your phone held the wrong way and vertical because you're a psycho. Unless it's on Instagram, then it's fine. And you hold it and you're just like, hey, Scott, it's me with a terrible angle that I look like Jeffrey Dahmer, and I want you to just love this video email if you want to get it too. Use my affiliate link that I'm not disclosing, even though it's ethical. If I should, thanks, bye. Just stop it. Let's just end the show.
That's the end of the show.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Clap now. You clap now.
Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.